Isaiah 53 is about a suffering servant. Now, the book of Acts, it tells us of a time when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53. He was greatly puzzled by the passage and what it all meant. So God sent a Christian named Philip, led by the Spirit, to go and minister to that Ethiopian eunuch. And so the eunuch, he asked Philip, "About whom, I ask, does the prophet say about this, himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Isaiah 53 describes a suffering servant. And Philip identifies that suffering servant as Jesus Christ. So let's take a few moments reflecting on that servant and his suffering. I'll begin by reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Our passage opens this evening by calling every single person a sheep. Now, being a sheep is not inherently a bad thing, as we'll actually see in verse 7, but here, most definitely, it is meant to be negative. We are wayward sheep. Many years ago, when Anna and I were first married, we went camping in the hills of Idaho with some of her family for the annual family reunion. Everyone would gather for a week together, and we would camp out at this beautiful meadow with a creek that ran right through it. We spent the day four-wheeling, and at night we laughed as we listened to the same stories over and over around the campfire. Well, during our one reunion while we were there, a local shepherd brought in thousands of sheep to graze. And I do use those air quotes, graze, because the shepherd parked the sheep across the road from us on the other side where there was little to no grass whatsoever. And so, unsurprisingly, the sheep smelled the sweet grass of our meadow and started making their way over to our side of the road. Now, I'm no farmer. I grew up in the suburbs. So I took this opportunity in front of me to do what I've always wanted to do, and that is get a really big stick and run back and forth as fast as I possibly can, yelling, and I drove those thousands of sheep back to their side of the road. There was dust everywhere. It was total chaos, and it was exhilarating. Like wayward sheep, we have gone our own way. We are controlled by our desires, and so we sniff out greener pastures. We might be disappointed in our lot in life, and so we seek out something to numb the pain. Or we hate being told what to do, so we lash out on others when we feel disrespected. Embarrassed by what we have become, we hide our sin. Ashamed by what we've done, we try to cover it up with morality. And after a while, we end up on the other side of the road, totally unaware of how we got there. We are rebels at heart. Ezekiel chapter 18 tells us that spiritual death is required for the sins that we have done. In fact, in that chapter, Ezekiel chapter 18, it tells us no less than 7 times that this truth exists. It says very plainly, "The soul who sins shall die." No one is exempt. We have all turned, each one of us, to sin. and death is the only sufficient payment for that sin. But as these verses here, in Isaiah 53, verse 6 say, that waywardness, that rebellion, the sin that we have wrought, it was laid on Jesus on the cross. This is the plan of salvation of our Lord. This is not some plan B, C, or D. It's not a second shot at the plan. This is God's plan A. Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our sins, our burden, placed on him. He bore it. He took it on. It became his sin. It became his burden. Jesus is the suffering servant because he served us when he carried the burden that we could not. Where we have been rebellious, he has been obedient. Read with me verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that's before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ is a sheep too. Notice how this verse begins. It says that he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Now, this is just simply continuing on from verse 6 above. Our burden was laid on him, and he carried it for us. However, it is not as if our waywardness were like a mildly heavy bag of topsoil that you carry from one side of the yard to the other. No. Our sin was oppressive. It oppressed him. It caused misery and torment. Let's not gloss over the fact of how much this cost Jesus for our rebellion. It was harmful to him. It was a fatal blow. And worse of all, it caused a relational split between him and his Father. He was forsaken. For me, for you. And what is the main thrust of verse 7 here? He suffered without opening his mouth. Jesus took it with silence. You see, silence is the sound of strength when in affliction. And in case you are wondering, what I do not mean is you are strong when you ignore pain or you pretend like you have not been hurt. No, that is not a sign of strength. That is a sign of weakness. Jesus did not ignore his pain. He cried out in the garden and on the cross. He didn't hide what was happening to him. This verse is not talking about hiding our pain and our suffering. This verse is telling us that Jesus did not retaliate or justify when he was oppressed on the cross. He didn't cry, "Injustice!" Though he did carry our sin. He didn't cry, "Oppression!" Though it was oppressive. He was silent and accepted his role. He was led to the slaughter so that we would not have to. Back in Idaho, when I was driving those sheep back, it's hard to fully describe the scene of thousands of panicking sheep. They scatter at first, of course. But then all of a sudden, they group back together, smashing into one another, like how a toddler might collect cotton balls in a jar. And then, of course, there was the deafening sound of their bleating, a chaotic chorus that told me about their fear and disapproval. And if you listen carefully, you could almost make out their objections. Who gives you the right to tell me what to do? How dare you yell at me and drive me away? Likewise, we are noisy sheep. We are quick to cry, injustice, when God removes from us the pasture that we have strayed into. Instead of dwelling on the great pain that we have caused Christ in his death, we end up becoming fixated on lesser things, like when our neighbors give a dirty look to us, and so we jab back at them. How quick we are to retaliate when we are hurt. Instead, let us be people who use our voices to praise the suffering servant who went to the cross for our sake. Jesus is that suffering servant because he suffered silently for you and me. I'd like to look at one more verse here in Isaiah 53. So if you could read with me, Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This last verse, verse 12, it reads as if it was flipped around. First, the result. Second, the reason for it. The first half of the verse describes the spoils of a triumphant hero. And then the second half of the verse, it describes how that hero won the spoils. I want you to notice the middle of the verse there. It says, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus Christ, the triumphant hero, he has poured out his soul to death. As you remember, Ezekiel chapter 18, it tells us that the soul that sins shall die. But we have sinned. Jesus Christ has not. We deserve to die. He was innocent. We are the ones who are rebels at heart. But out of the loving generosity of his heart, he chose to be numbered with us, the rebels. He rose his hand and said, I'll take their place. I'll die for them. And so he did. He purposely poured out his soul, not for anything that he has done, but for everything that we have. He counted his life as nothing for our sake. Now, I want you to imagine that triumphant hero. He has just returned from war. A neighboring country sought to sack the city and destroy all the townspeople. But our hero went to war for his city, and victory was his. And with him, he brings back the spoils. I want you to imagine him. As he walks into the city, everyone has come to line the streets to the left and to the right. Everyone is celebrating, cheering as he walks down the road. He's headed straight to the castle to give the spoils to the king. Surely our hero will not go empty-handed. The king will give a portion to him as well. But something totally unexpected happens. As the triumphant hero walks down the street, he invites the townspeople to join him. He tells them, victory belongs to us. They leave the sidewalks and join the joyful procession, all the way towards the castle. And as they reach the king does something even more unexpected. He divides the spoils among everyone, even the townspeople. Even though the hero has won the war, the spoils belong to all. Jesus Christ is that triumphant hero. He has gone to war for us. Sin, our enemy. The battlefield, his bloodied body on the cross. The spoils, righteousness. His righteousness. Christ's death has provided both our forgiveness of sin and a perfect righteousness. His righteousness. He was numbered with the rebels, and so we are numbered with the righteous. Jesus is the suffering servant who shares his spoils with all of us. Ezekiel 18, that one chapter that we keep coming back to that I mentioned, it ends with a call for repentance. This is what God says in Ezekiel chapter 18. 30 to 32. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Cast away you all the transgressions that you have committed. Why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. And that is what we must do. We must turn to Christ. Because only in him we may receive forgiveness and his righteousness. In a moment, we will partake of communion together. Immediately afterwards, we will transition into a time of silence. I encourage you to take advantage of that time of silence. I encourage you to reflect on what we've seen in Isaiah 53, verse 6, 7, and 12. We were once sinful sheep that have gone astray. But Jesus, that silent and obedient sheep, has stood in our place. And because he was numbered with us, we get to share in his righteousness. After our time of silence, we will continue the service with scripture reading. You may get your communion elements now. If you have not yet decided to turn to Christ, please do not take communion. Communion is intended for those who have already repented of their sins and have turned to faith in Christ. Instead, I encourage you to consider to turn to him today. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us now transition to a time of silence.